back to Bird to Train. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, we have a special guest today to talk about the Jets. It is the biggest Jets fans I know, Akiba Wienerker.
Yeah, that's me. We should have had my grandpa on this podcast at some point.
Yeah. Does he know what a podcast is?
I think he's got an idea, yeah. Okay. I think my dad has played him a clip or two at some point. I don't know if he could find it himself.
Can I complain to you about something?
Yeah.
So I think I've mentioned to you before that one of my greatest pleasures in life is when you're like falsely accused of something, but you know with 100% certainty that it's false and that you're going to be able to prove it's false since you're going to get off.
Yeah, when you have proof of something, that's great.
Yeah. But then, of course, the worst thing in life is then, despite that, you still being found guilty anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Where you get accused, you didn't do it, you prove you didn't do it, and then they don't care.
So are you being vague, or are you going to tell a story?
No, I have a real-life example.
It's got to be quick, because this is a serious... We've got serious business today. We're talking about the Jets.
I got, like, a summons in the mail.
Whoa!
Yeah, you are hereby summoned to appear before this court to answer this complaint. If you fail to appear on the date and at the time stated, a warrant will be issued for your arrest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is it related to your contractor?
No. No, well, I guess kind of. No. So they're accusing me of offense 364-3C.
Oh, child porn. Okay.
Yeah, no. You can't joke about that.
Okay.
No, it's so I looked it up, and it has something to do with disposing of garbage in the wrong way, whatever it is.
Oh, my
God.
But
the crazy thing
is can't you just say Dr. Jen did it?
Well, so here's the crazy thing. They're not saying that it was done, like, at my property. They're saying it was done somewhere else in Englewood by me. And a police officer witnessed me with my name in my vehicle doing this on August 13th at 10 in the morning, according to the summons, right?
Yeah.
There's only one problem.
Yeah.
On August 13th at 10 in the morning, I was in my office in another state.
Ah.
So I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like excited because it's like, oh, I can actually prove that I don't know why I got this. I don't know if it's a mistake. I don't know who it's directed at, but like, you know, I got an alibi.
Did your wife
baby.
Ever drive your car?
No, it wasn't her. So she was actually sleeping because she had just been working the night before, also in another state.
Can I tell you what speaking of wives, spouses driving your car, my sister revealed when I was with her this past month that, or I guess her husband revealed, my brother-in-law revealed that he is not allowed to drive a white, he wanted to buy like a white or silver car, but his wife, my sister, made him buy a black car. And when we said why, he said, because your sister will only drive black cars. But I said, but yeah, she has a black car. Why can't you have a white car? He said, just in case, and it doesn't happen, but just in case she has to drive it, she will not drive a white car. She hates white cars. So in the 1% chance that, like, as a backup, she would need his car, needs to be black. So that's the stock
guy. He's got a lot of hand in that relationship.
Yeah.
By the way, so that raises another thing. I was just talking to my wife about this. Like, do most people have, like, in a couple, like one member of the couple has his or her own car, and then the other person has his or her own car, and like never the twain shall mix?
Yes, I think in every couple that's like that, basically. I mean, now we have.
Because we definitely do not have that.
We have listeners from Manhattan who have zero cars, or if
no,
most
I'm
one.
Only talking about circumstances
but
where you have
two
cars for two adults.
But you're talking about if any two-car, two-adult family, and obviously it's tricky, like I have two little sisters, so then now in my parents' house there's at least three cars, but sometimes there's four drivers. Yes, in a normal scenario, then, yes, it's always a husband's car and a wife's car. I'd say 100% of the time.
I don't know why you're so heteronormative.
As you, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Husband and husband, wife and wife.
Well, okay, because when I grew up, we had my dad's car and my mom's car, and they always had their own cars.
Yes.
And they, you know, except if my mom had, like, the station wagon, so if we were driving as a family, my dad would
drive. Yeah, of course.
You're
allowed to drive the other person's car. I mean,
But in our family, we don't have that at all. They're both, like, both of our cars, and I've tried to propose that, and it got shot down immediately.
That's correct. Well, let me ask you, are they both larger than five seaters?
Well, okay, so we have a regular sedan, which is exactly five seats.
Okay. Well, then it's tricky.
Then we have a minivan.
Well, then obviously whoever's picking up or driving the kids around is going to drive the minivan.
Yeah, but also my wife drives to work whenever she goes to work, so she always takes the sedan to work.
Oh, okay.
So my wife drives both cars more than I do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, nothing you're saying is crazy. I think that's fair.
But I tried to claim the sedan.
So you tried
to claim. I said she could have the minivan, and that immediately got shot down. So.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have two completely different sets of car seats?
We have car seats all over the place. Car seats are getting transferred from this car to that car. And
because it's very annoying to transfer car seats.
Yeah,
like,
well, here's
to buckle
the thing,
in when you're on the road.
No, well, the car seat is annoying. The booster is not so annoying.
Booster is not a big deal at all.
Yeah. So because we do carpools, the rule is you have to have a booster for every person in the carpool.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we only have three kids, we own like eight car seats.
Yeah,
slash
I got it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard
thing. This is dad talk. We're losing our
nobody
our
cares about this.
Childless listeners.
Yeah. So anyway, so like I've been, but the reason I brought this up is I've been doing like, you know, all this like evidence to prove where I've been and where I haven't been. And so like I asked my office to provide evidence of when I scanned in my card for security. Mm-hmm. And then I asked my office to provide a list of all the phone calls I made from my office phone. And I'm like getting all this evidence to prove, oh, I found like the ticket that I used on the bus that morning to go to New Jersey and my Uber
That's
to come home.
That's crazy that you had a ticket from what month is this from?
This is just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay, fine.
Still, exactly a week ago. It was a week ago today. We're recording on the 20th. This was on August
15th. Why do you think this cop has something out for you? Like, do you think the cop is friends with someone who hates you?
So yeah, I was trying to figure out why this happened and what happened and how I'm being accused of something that I can prove I didn't do. I'm not sure. I really don't.
Do you have to bring an attorney?
Could be mistaken identity. Say it again.
Do you have to bring an attorney?
I hope not.
What day is your court date?
Well, so here's even the weirder part. I called. So the one that came in the mail, the summons, it was all handwritten. It wasn't like printed.
Yeah.
And it looks like it was written in disappearing ink, so I can barely make out any of it. It's all like very, very faded. So I called the city, the municipal court yesterday to find out like when do I actually have to show up, because I see it says the date, but I can't really see the time. It's sort of rubbed out. And I called the city, and they have no evidence of this even.
Wait, so it's fake?
Well, so she says, is it typed or handwritten? I said, it's handwritten. She said, oh, well, then the police officer may not have – they have to bring it in personally to deliver it, and they might just haven't done that yet. So I'm like, well, that's weird that they mail it to me before they even tell the court.
This is very sketchy.
So she says to me, well, why don't you call the police officer and ask? And I don't want to do that because I don't want to alert the cop to the fact that I have an alibi and that, you know, she's going to show up and be sorely mistaken that the scofflaw gets off.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm her white whale. I don't know. So those are Seinfeld
references. Oh, it's a female cop?
Yeah, you have a problem with that?
You said she. I don't know. I assumed that it was a guy.
Yeah, I'm just I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Very okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. So now I don't want to call the cops. I don't know. So I guess I'll just call the city municipal court every couple days to see if it's been
delivered. This is crazy. This is really nuts.
Yeah, so we might have to I get one call from prison, right?
Okay, yeah, better.
So we may have to record like seven episodes in a row.
It would be possible. I wonder how many podcasts have been done from jail. I guess the most popular podcast was partially done from jail.
Yes,
so that's true. we could copy them. All right, let's talk about the Jets.
Let's talk about the Jets.
Team number 21. Apologies to Harold Nav, who we didn't have on this year because we didn't have any.
The highest they've been in a while. Congratulations, Jets.
Yeah. All right. I mean, listen, people, Sam Darnold from the end of last year to the beginning of this year has somehow gone from like being one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL to being like, everyone is assuming he's going to be a superstar this year. It is interesting.
Mm. I don't know.
Now, he was the last
now,
4 weeks.
We are going to be doing our quarterback rankings on tomorrow's episode.
Now, he was one of the I believe, depending on your metric, the best quarterback in the NFL the last 4 weeks of the year last year. So he definitely got much better as the season went on.
Depending on your metric is
no, I believe
a lot
he
of work in that
no, sense. I think he was. I think by almost any metric he was. He was look at his last 4 weeks. They're really good. Or maybe it was 13-16, something like that. If you take out, you know, the Jets had that one game last year against Miami where their center couldn't snap the ball and he threw five interceptions. But literally the snaps were over, he was chasing the ball like he was in elementary school like the whole game. So you take out that game.
All the interceptions were his center's fault.
Yeah, they were. He was literally throwing the ball from 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage the whole game. Watch it. It's crazy. Anyway,
now, I'm looking at his game log last year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
In week 13, he had 170 yards, one touchdown, one interception. So I don't think that was one of his great games. In week 16, they lost 38-3. He had his average yards per attempt was below six. He had 167 yards on 28 attempts. So I don't think he was very good at that game.
No, he was great in every game.
Okay, so he had two good games, weeks 14 and 15, both of which they lost, by the way. But in those two games, he combined.
I think it's the last three. I think that is the last three games of the season.
Now, again, his last game of the year was an abysmal game. He had a 57% completion percentage, less than 6 yards per attempt. No, so definitely not. And they lost 38-3. So he had two good games the entire season, and they were in weeks 14 and games 14 and 15.
Yeah, he was great.
Maybe that's what you mean. He had two good games. Congratulations. You think
anyway.
Those two? Yeah. All right. So, but you're all in on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I'm all in. I mean, he is the hope. He's the future. He's my one true
love. Now, just to give people a little bit of an inside, inside the podcast studio and a spoiler alert for tomorrow. So the way we normally do our quarterback rankings is I make my quarterback rankings. You make your quarterback rankings. We combine them so we get an average ranking. And then that is the cumulative, that's the ranking for the podcast.
Yes.
You said to me earlier that you will not give me your rankings ahead of time.
Correct.
Because you are concerned that your number one ranked quarterback.
No, I didn't say that.
In this podcast.
I did not say that. I said I have one ranking, not the number one ranking. I have a ranking will upset you. And it's not Sam Darnold.
Oh, because I was worried that you were going to have Sam Darnold number one.
That would be funny. No, it's we just have one ranking that's going to be different. Maybe it won't end the podcast, but we're definitely going to have some yelling over it. All right, so let's talk about the rest of the team. But I do think Darnold has a big second year. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell, I do think running backs with a history of skipping year, it's actually been a positive for them. How long he's going to be good,
this,
I don't know.
I haven't seen the evidence for that. So
Now the receiving core. Does Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and Jameson Crowder's receiving core excite you?
Do you remember what you said about them last year?
What did I say?
You said that the Jets might have the best receiving core in the NFL.
No, I never said that.
Yes,
anyway,
did.
Robbie Anderson
yes,
is an
and I laughed and I laughed.
Robbie Anderson is an elite deep threat. Quincy Enunwa is probably the best tackle breaker, maybe Golden Tate, but he's suspended of any receiver in the NFL. And Jameson Crowder is going to lead the team in receptions. Chris Herndon had unbelievable.
Robbie Anderson, this amazing deep threat, had how many catches? Did he even have more than 50 catches last year?
Yeah, I think he had like 57, maybe.
Let's see. He had 50 is the answer.
Yeah, I mean the team was barely able to move the ball. Like,
do
first
you
of
know
all,
who I? Wait, but hold on a second. If they had all these elite wide receivers, why were they barely able to move the
ball?
Well,
they had no blocking, and then they all got hurt. Everyone got hurt.
Yeah. I'm looking at this team's depth chart. Why is Bilal Powell still on this team? Speaking of getting hurt,
so Powell was cut, and then they signed him as a camp body.
Elijah McGuire still on this team? Ty Montgomery?
I mean, like, Elijah McGuire.
This is the place where old running backs go to die?
Basically. So Elijah McGuire is only a third-year player. He's just the worst running back in the NFL. He's probably not going to make the team. So Bilal Powell was cut, and then over the summer they just needed like a fifth body in camp, and they signed him, and he's looked really, really good. Bilal Powell quietly has had a good career. Like, he's really never been bad his whole career. He can run and pass catch. He doesn't play special teams, so it's very hard to make any team as a third running back when you don't play special teams, because you almost always you're relying on, you know, their best special teams player Trenton Cannon was their third running back last year. But Ty Montgomery is a poor man's Le'Veon Bell's, which is why he's the backup. The truth is Darnold has a lot of pass catchers, because Herndon spent the first four games, but Herndon had a fantastic rookie season. He was really their one find last year. He's going to be a top 10 tight end in the NFL next year for sure, but definitely the last 12 weeks this year. If their core of Anderson, Enunwa, Crowder, Herndon, and Bell stay healthy, you know, and not suspended, then it's you know, they're going to be able to move the ball every game. Their offensive line is basically five old men. Everyone is right. Their center literally retired in the offseason, and they had to give him millions of dollars to come out of retirement.
Is that Jonathan Harrison?
No, Ryan Khalil. They signed from the
Ryan Khalil. He's very old.
They signed veteran.
So who's Jonathan Harrison?
Jonathan Harrison was supposed to be their starter, but Khalil took
his job. There's a lot of ways to spell Jonathan. This is not one of them.
Yeah, Jonathan, he's got an O and two T's.
He's got two O's, two T's.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the backup center. And
he makes Dwayne Wade look like a spelling champ.
Yeah, Kelvin Beachum is pretty old. He's their left tackle. Brandon Shell, Art Shell's great nephew. Has never really, been better than a league average player. He's the right tackle. Brian Winters isn't super athletic. He's the right guard. And Kelechi Osemele was their big offseason signing.
No, I'm looking at their depth chart right now, and there is a red Q for questionable next to four of their five starting offensive line.
Yeah, the whole offensive line is injured right now. It's a little bit of an issue. But nobody's at week one yet. But it is weird. The entire team is injured in training camp. Yeah. Moving to the defense.
Wait, hold on. Let's stay on the offense for a second. Yeah, so the Jets, as you like to famously complain about, have never had a tight end of relevance in your life.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Johnny Mitchell was talented, but never put
moment.
It together.
Is that correct?
Correct.
So is it time for Eric Tomlinson?
Eric Tomlinson might make the team, but I don't think he will.
But he will not be catching touchdowns.
I mean, he could. The Jets didn't score a touchdown, I don't think, in that game, did they? Or they lost 10-7, maybe?
They drafted
Trevon Wesco, so he has to make the team. And Ryan Griffin, if you remember from the Texans, is ahead of him. I think Tomlinson's probably fifth on the depth chart. I don't think he's going to make the team.
Is he one of the top two Tomlinsons to play for this team this decade?
I mean, the Giants have Dalvin Tomlinson, so he's a top three in New York, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's funny how some names are like football only and some names are baseball. Like, if there was a Tomlinson in Major League Baseball, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Go to football.
Yeah, well, that's partly the demographics of the sport.
I guess that's true, but I do think it works with names.
I worked for my congressman, Martin Olav Sabo, in the seat now filled by Ilhan Omar, in 2003. And one of the people in the office was Lisa Tomlinson.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to Lisa Tomlinson one day, I said, you know, the best football player in the NFL right now. I mean, he was literally like, if you had him in fantasy.
It was like on the Madden cover that year.
Now, if you had him in fantasy in that era.
You
I
won.
Mean, let me put it this way. We were at an auction, and yeah. Shamir Seidman spent $117 on LT.
Yeah, and probably didn't
You know why? Because he had four touchdowns a week. Anyway, yeah. So I mentioned to Lisa Tomlinson. I said, oh, you know, there's a football player whose name is also L. Tomlinson. And she had never heard of him.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. This is an old Adam Carolla rant, like people being named Lola but never having heard of the song Lola. It seems like it should be the first thing that comes up when you meet them. Let's move to the defense for a second, which is the Jets front seven is a strength. They drafted Quinn Williams third. He might be a star.
It's been a strength for like at least a decade now.
Yes. Well, their defensive line in particular, more so than their linebackers. Leonard Williams is in a contract year, a very high pick in his fifth year. And, you know, who knows? If this team gets off to a slow start, you know, I would look to trade him. Henry Anderson had a career year last year and got a big signing after the Colts basically gave him away. And then, they're loaded. Steve McClendon, the longtime nose tackle, you know, might not even start for them. They have – it's the only position where they have to, like, might have to cut guys who are actually NFL players.
Talk to me about Folarunzu Fadakasi.
Yeah, Folarunzu. He was a draft pick last year.
Amazing name.
Yeah, it is a good name. He's going to have a tough time making the team. He would make the team normally. They signed this guy, Bronson Kaufusi, who's been playing better than him. They also have Nathan Shepard.
Oh, so Kaufusi's better than Fadakasi.
Kaufusi over Fadakasi. Yeah. They drafted a couple linemen last year. Nathan Shepard, who's playing, I think he's Canadian. He was playing like in not the CFL, but like Canadian college football. Was sort of a bust last year, but he might make the team. The big linebacking news is C.J. Mosley. They gave him $1 trillion to come over from the Ravens. And then their other starting inside linebacker, Avery Williamson, just tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. And they traded Darren Lee. So they're going to have to play a backup-level player like Neville Hewitt or a rookie for fifth-round pick, Blake Cashman. The outside linebackers are no names, Jordan Jenkins, Frankie Louvo, and Brandon Copeland, but they all were successful pass rushers last year. They really, you know, so we'll see if Greg Williams, the new defensive coordinator, your favorite person on earth, if his scheme – and you know the story of Greg Williams – the guy who testified against him is Adam Gase, the head coach's father-in-law, and is also on the staff. It's gonna if
I'm
this
sure
team
that's gonna go well.
If this team is 6-0, everyone will be happy. If this team is 0-6, you will actually see burning at Florham Park. Like it will be insane. Like Greg Williams, if you thought what he did on Hard Knocks last year was a coup, he's gonna like stab Gase with a pitchfork. It's gonna get insane. The safety combo is elite. Jamal Adams is the most fun defensive player to watch in the NFL. He plays every snap. Like he loves football more than anybody else in the league. He plays every snap like it's his last. Has said he'd be happy if he died on the field. And Marcus May is incredibly talented, but is always injured. He's their other safety. The problem is the cornerback position. Trumaine Johnson was given a historically big cornerback contract last year and was below average. And now is old, and it looks like he's just never going to be even an average corner again. They can't even cut him after this year. And then Darrell Roberts, who's like a nickel cornerback, who's always been like a end of a roster type guy, is a starter. They are so. I mean, I follow this team incredibly closely, and there are times of practice where they're starting corners I've never heard of because they have like 8 or 9 injured cornerbacks right now. This is to the point where the guys who predict the 53-man rosters, if you see like the. Like, you know, every beat writer now does a 53-man roster prediction like once a week.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just they like just say NA for the whole position. It's like they're going to have to pick up every good corner that gets cut. Like there might not be any good corners that get cut, but literally every corner gets cut. They're going to have to pick up. They might have to pick
up.
Well,
they're going to be fighting the Vikings for that because.
Well, they're not going to be fighting they're not going to be fighting the Vikings because it goes by how bad you were last year. So the Jets have third, you know, it's priority after the Cardinals and the
it goes waivers the same
and
as
the
baseball?
Niners. Yeah, it's the same as baseball. So yeah, they have third
choice.
Because
the Vikings, I was reading their 53-man prediction, and it said for their 8th and 9th DBs, it's probably going to be guys who are on other teams.
Yeah,
right now.
So they will, but the bad teams get first crack at all, and it doesn't reset, so you get third crack at every single player.
Oh, that's unfair.
Well, just be bad, and then you have to worry about it.
Yeah. Speaking about Vikings and Jets competing, which has happened a lot. It happened with Kirk Cousins last summer. Happened with Anthony Barr this summer.
Yeah, I think the Barr signing, I told this to you, it ends up being a blessing in disguise because, one, they wouldn't have been able to sign Khalil. They wouldn't have had the money for it. Anthony Barr agreed to the Jets and then spurned them for less money to go back to Minnesota. I just don't think that it's he's not an elite pass rusher, even though he is a very good player.
Bill Simmons, Bill Barnwell put him on his, his super 53-man roster.
He's a great player. He's a unique player in that.
The problem is that he disappears for long stretches of time. He's almost like like a specialty guy. He's like, you know, like Ray Allen in basketball, where he has one, or like Andy Samberg. Like, he's really good at certain things, but then he's it's not like he's playing, like, you know, 100% of the snaps.
Right. Andy Samberg's rarely the dad in like a traditional SNL scene.
Yeah.
Anyway,
those are some good analogies there. Now let's talk about another competition
Ray Allen
that the Vikings and
for
Jets
you
had.
Used them. That's crazy.
Tell me about your kicking game, because you guys wanted Kari Vedvik, who had a good game for the Ravens, and they traded him to the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings traded. So
the Vikings have now used the 5th round draft pick on kickers in consecutive years.
The Jets had like historically great special teams last year, by far the best in the league, coming from after a year that they had like the worst. And really, what happened was Jason Myers just hit like 20 50-yard field goals. And Andre Roberts like returned every single kick 50 yards the entire season, after not really being good for several years. The problem is that those things are fluky, and the one good thing that deposed GM Mike McCagnan did is he did not re-sign those guys. Keep in mind, this team has fired their GM since the draft. I didn't mention that up front. They, which is smart.
Always a sign of a team that's you know, very optimistic.
They trusted him to draft you know, the third player in the draft, but not to continue after that. So anyway, Andre Roberts is with the Bills, and Jason Myers signed with the Seahawks, but they replaced them with Chandler Catanzaro, who's already retired. It's been a very strange camp, and they don't really have a returner. So yeah, the Jets have literally no kicker. Like, Taylor Bertolette is kicking for them in the preseason, but I don't think they intend to make him their kicker. So they might just go with – what they should do, I think, is have a different kicker every week. Like, just do, like – 17 kickers, 17 weeks, see how it goes. I also think it would be I don't know how teams do this, but because when you bring in a kicker and you know, like, it's a week by week thing, which is why it's insane when teams like the Vikings seem to always draft kickers and punters. I would not give them the playbook, because then they could like get signed by New England next week and just hand them the playbook, right? If I send the kicker, I would not let him like in any meeting. I would not let him on the premises other than the practice field to kick. What do you think about that idea?
Well, the problem with this Kari Vedvik is the Vikings don't even know what they're doing with him. They, in their second preseason game, they had him do 3 punts and 1 extra point, but Dan Bailey was still kicking other than that.
Yeah.
So and the punts were very bad. He had no.
Well, that's
hang
a
times.
Weird combo, because Bailey is like, you know, he's the famous kickoff guy also. So
well, here, yeah. Oh, and he did the
so they're going to keep two kickers. Like,
the problem with being a kicker punter is that most likely you're not really good at you're decent at both, but you're not good.
Right. If it was a college team, that's incredibly useful, because there's an unlimited amount of spots. So like having a guy like that, at worst, you're the backup for both. That's an incredibly valuable person. The NFL is built in a weird way where you're never going to have a kicker or punter, you know, backup. So the idea that you could have one would be amazing, but it's a different sport. You know, the same way the guy who wins the 100 meter dash will never run the 400 meter dash.
Yeah.
All right, so quickly, the Jacksonville Jaguars, because we're running out of time, the 20th-ranked team. So let me give you my core eights for both teams. The Jets is Darnold, Adams, Quinnen Williams, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, Leonard Williams, Chris Herndon, Robbie Anderson. Not great. And the Jaguars is Nick Foles, Jalen Ramsey, Josh Allen, A.J. Bouye, who I think has to basically fall off the list now because he is rumored to maybe be even cut, so he can't be the 4th most valuable chip on the team. Calais Campbell, Marcel Darius, Yannick Ngakoue, and Miles Jack. Now, do you know what those 7 players other than Nick Foles have in common?
Defense.
All defense. Other than the quarterback, I mean, there is nothing on offense. It is frightening. Leonard Fournette is a bust. I think we could say that he's not good. They have a lot of, like similar to what we talked about with the other Florida team, the Dolphins, they have a lot of, like, cute, like, oh, this guy might be good, like D.D. Westbrook types that never really put together a full season, but, like, have 2 games a year where it seems like on red zone they keep scoring. So they have a few decent receivers. Their offensive line is mediocrities, but every single defender on this team is a stud, and then they drafted Josh Allen, who a lot of people thought was the top 5 guy in the draft. So this defense might be absolutely frightening, but it's possible Nick Foles has his worst year just because, like, I don't know if he has enough weapons really to handle. You know, he's going from Philadelphia, where he had an all-world offensive line and solid receivers and a solid running game, to absolutely nothing, you know?
Yeah. Now, you sound pretty optimistic about this team, though.
The Jaguars?
No, the Jets.
Oh, well, we're also talking about the Jaguars. The Jets ceiling is...
nobody cares about the Jaguars.
The Jets ceiling is Andrew Luckish 10-6, where Darnold, they stay relatively healthy, and Darnold drags them to 10-6, and then they're the number one team on next year's Bill Barnwell, this team is going to recede list, you know? That's their absolute apex. And downside is the offensive line falls apart, Darnold misses 3 or 4 games again, and they have, you know, for the 80th straight year, double-digit losses.
Yeah. Can we do the schedule game then?
If you want to do it very quickly, sure. We're running out of time.
Listen, if we don't get to the Jaguars, no one's dying. All right, week one at home against Buffalo.
If they lose this game, you have to shut off the season right away. If it was a video game, you'd reset right away. So I'm going to say they beat the Bills, but I'm going to be nervous.
All right, week two at home against Cleveland.
Yeah, I think there's a loss. Baker Mayfield came in last year. It was his first game he beat them. I think they're going to lose.
All right, week three at New England.
Loss.
All right, so 1-2 and then the very early bye week. Come out of the bye at Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's another loss. It's one of the easiest schedules in the league, but it's tough at the beginning.
All right, 1-3 at home against the Cowboys.
I'll say win.
All right, 2-3, and then at home against the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, loss, 2-4.
You got two Monday Nighters in the first 6 weeks. All right, so you're 2-4 at Jacksonville, who we'll discuss in a second.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we won't. We're almost out of time. I'd say they will beat Jacksonville, 13-10.
All right, so 3-4, and then you stay in Florida at Miami.
Win. The Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL.
4-4. All right, now you come home to face the Giants.
It's going to be rocking. Another bad team. I'll say 5-4.
5-4. So they go from 2-4 to 5-4. They go at Washington, another terrible team.
Win. Again, the schedule
six
is really
and four,
easy.
And then at home against Oakland before Thanksgiving, another terrible team.
7-4.
All right, so the 2-4 Jets are going to win five games in a row. Hold on. This schedule. And then you go at Cincinnati,
really
another very winnable game.
I'll say they'll lose in Cincinnati.
All right, 7-5, and then home against the Dolphins.
Win.
So from 2-4 to 8-5.
Yeah.
Wow. 8-5 in the driver's seat for a playoff game. You got a short week at Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a loss. 8-6.
8-6. Then you come home, face the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Loss. 8-7.
8-7. And then you're needing a win and a lot of help to make the playoffs at Buffalo.
In Buffalo, they lose 8-8. All right. Yeah.
So that's a roller coaster.
I mean, I do think that's sort of the 70th percentile for them. I don't think that's the likely scenario is probably closer to 6 or 7 wins. But as you see the schedule, there aren't a lot of. I mean, yes, every team sees their schedule and says, oh, great, we have the Jets next week. That's winnable. But we can say that about every team but the Patriots and maybe the Steelers, Eagles, and Browns.
All right. I mean, okay, so you're pretty optimistic, but, not unreasonably so.
Yeah,
all right,
and I think the Jaguars are also about an 8-8 team, 7-9-8. Yeah,
let's rip through these Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't we at 32 minutes?
No, we got 5 minutes to go.
All right, I don't think so.
I got the
clock, buddy boy. What do you want to say about the Jaguars? I mean, I don't have a lot to say about the Jaguars. Give me a take. Give me a Jaguars take. What do you think? Nick Foles.
I mean, my Nick Foles takes have been pretty consistent for a while.
Yeah.
He's a backup quarterback. They gave him $50 million because he's not Blake Bortles.
Yeah, they're certainly paying him like he's a starter. There aren't a lot of Nick Foles in the NFL. You have...
Yeah, I'm still shocked at that contract. I said last December, January, in my Fantasy Football League WhatsApp group, I said, he would get sort of a Case Keenum-esque quarterback, contract. He would get $20 to $25 million guaranteed. There was no way that he was going to get, double that, and then he did. So, I mean, look, the Jaguars are a team who, coming into last season, were coming off an AFC Championship game that they were winning in the second half that they blew because of their abysmal play calling.
Yeah.
And they were really optimistic. And remember when we had our Jaguars guest on last year, he thought, he was at 12-4, and he said he was more conservative than most of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the bottom fell out because Blake Bortles was who we thought he was.
Yeah.
And this is just a team, and I hate to say it, but the Vikings are a little bit in this circumstance also. Your Jets, in the beginning of this decade are a little bit like this also. We've seen it with the Seahawks. Like, teams that are based on the defense first, defensive guys aren't going to last unless it's like a safety.
It's not. Sometimes defensive players do last, but the scheme and the cumulative group doesn't always work. Everyone says that offense repeats from year to year better than defense, which is why, you would be worried if you're a Chicago Bears fan also. But the offense, D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Chark, Marquise Lee, and James O'Shaughnessy, I mean, that's their receiving core. That's a nightmare. Leonard Fournette sucks. Their backup is Alfred Blue, who sucks.
Yeah.
Their offensive line, Cam Robinson, has kind of struggled in the league. Norwell is a big signing from Carolina.
Cam Robinson, more of a basketball name than a football name.
I agree. Linder, A.J. Can, which is more of like a porn name, I think. And then Cedric Agbaji.
You're watching.
It's not a great line. The defense is ridiculous, like we said. Ngakwe, Darius, Campbell, Allen, that's just in the front four.
Yeah.
A rookie draft pick,
Ramsey and
Bouye Williams.
Quarterbacks.
Great Jack, quarterbacks. Ramsey and Bouye, Ronnie Harrison, Jared Williams, CJ Revis. They are beyond loaded. I mean, no, they wouldn't trade with a defense.
By the way, who's the backup for Nick Foles? Because I see Tanner Lee. I've never even heard of him.
Tanner Lee, I think Gardner Minshew, the draft pick, has been playing a lot, but I think he's been really bad, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
I mean, I just think that this team is going to have a massive.
I think Tanner Lee got injured, maybe, but I agree. The backup situation is.
I just don't see a way for this team to get to 20 points a week consistently.
Oh, they released Tanner Lee, so they waived him.
So my depth chart is very out of date.
Yeah. You should go on Our Lads, I think, has updated depth charts.
Probably.
Gardner Minshew, the sixth round pick, is going to be their backup. So, yeah, they probably have the worst backup situation in the league. We didn't mention the Jets backup. Do you know who it is?
No.
Trevor Siemian. Honestly, that's like a pretty
league
average
backup.
Oh,
he was on the Vikings last year. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a league average backup. Yeah. So the Jaguars are weird. They're rich man's Broncos, in which on paper it's a terrible team, but that defense is so good that when you watch the game, you're like, oh, shoot, this is like a nightmare team to play. Just an absolute nightmare.
I don't think I'd call them a rich man's anything, but
they are. The Broncos suck. They have like eight guys. I mean, they might not have one Von Miller or even Chubb.
Okay, the Jaguars suck also. Right?
Yeah, but the Jaguars have like 10 good defenders. Like nobody.
The Jaguars lost 7 games in a row last year.
Yeah, and they got better on defense. Like their defense is really good, and they have a better quarterback. Like Nick Foles, say what you will about him, he's better than the boat. He's better than Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Look, we've seen him be better than Blake Bortles, but we also saw Blake Bortles play fine for a season. You know, I think that the Jaguars are a team that's a 6-10, 7-9 team. I think we have them ranked.
I think 7-9, 8-8. Yeah, I mean, listen, if they had a good offensive line, I'd say if Nick Foles could recover his magic, they could win a playoff game. But they don't.
And they won't.
There's
a big cutoff to me after this is team number 20. Every team from here on up, I think, should expect to make the playoffs, has goals of making the playoffs. And I think that this is the last team we're going to talk about that, you know, they are not going to make the playoffs in.
Well, you think the best 20 teams are all